the shiur this evening, which is part of a series entitled A Torah Perspective on the Work Ethic, is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas, my brother-in-law, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a Rabbi Yisrael cousin, on his second yard site. He was an outstanding Talmud Chacham, someone who had kesher initially with Hagoyim Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, and later on in Eretz Yisrael for many, many decades with many of the Dolei Yisrael living here in Eretz Yisrael. The shiur is also dedicated to the Le'ilu Nishmas Hagoyim Rabbi Yehuda Kellerman, whose Levaya is taking place right now. He was the Rav of Young Israel at West Hempstead in the Five Town area, an outstanding Talmud Chacham, but preeminently a Rav unparalleled in the kind of relationships that he nurtured and cultivated with Balabatim for decades. I was zoche to meet him on many, many occasions. My acquaintanceship with him goes back all the way to when he was a Rav in Young Israel of Brookline, Massachusetts, which is close to 45, 50 years ago. And that's when I first became acquainted with him. It was a Chavrusa of Agon Davod Chagifta in Tells when he was 15 years old. And later on, he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim and became a Rav that was absolutely, probably the quintessential Rav, besides being an unbelievable going and learning, but his, I would say, incredible gargantuan accomplishments primarily lay in his connection with Balabatim, in Imo Anochi Betzara, in Neseh Be'olam Chavero, Mamish, this week's Pasha, Vayetzi Moshe Alecha Vayabis Ubloisa. So the Shia tonight is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas, these two wonderful individuals. We have been exploring, essentially, the stira, the contradiction between a number of two statements in Chazal, one by Rav Noroi, that Meniach Ani Kolum Shabailam and Melamedes Bini Al Teira, and the other statement that indicates that one is obligated to teach a child Umnas Nikiya V'Kala. We've explored a number of different approaches to resolving this contradiction. But essentially, the basic tack, which is taken by the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ah Halacha and by the Brisker Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Zecher Tzadikim Livracha, is that there is room for the position of Rav Shimon Yochai, namely the one in Brachas Lamed Hei, where he's concerned about Torah Mati Allah. If everyone is involved in the working force, and everyone is involved in different types of labor, Choresh b'shas Chavisha, Zoreh b'shas Ria, b'chulum, Torah Mati Alea. So his contention is that one has to devote oneself to the study of Torah, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Brisker both indicate that that is something which is certainly fitting for Yechidei Sgula, for individuals who are clearly of caliber, who are masmidim, who are shakdonim, and for Rov of Klal Yisrael, as the Gemara indicates in Brachos, Harbi Asu K'Rav Shimon Yochai will also be Adon, and the Rov should follow the position of Rabbi Shmuel Hanig Ben Minadar Cheres, which means that combining both, namely, one should try to max out on Limud HaTorah to the extent that one can, but obviously at the same time provide a Parnasa for one's family. So we're about to explore in this light the Rambam, what the position of the Rambam is, and that will take us a little bit. But before I do so, I wanted to share with you a very beautiful explanation that I once heard from Hagoyin Rabbi Yehuda Levenberg Shlita from Lakewood, New Jersey. And he said in the name of his father, Hagoyin Ratzvi Levenberg Zatzal, a very beautiful explanation based on the Gemara that's still found in the earlier Marmakamos before the we explore the ones that I sent today. On page number 11, there's a Gemara in Maseches Tainis. And let's just perhaps, on Chaf Aleph, let's just, by way of background, till now we pointed out that there were many Tanoim and Amaroim that were Mefarnis themselves by the work ethic. Rabbi Yeshua was a pechomi, was a blacksmith. The Gemara in Brachos has a very beautiful, almost I would say in some respects, very eloquent description. Mikoisle beisecha niko shepechomi ato. Iyato yodea bitzarun shel tamidei chachomim. How they are misparnes and how they are nizonim. Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, was a lavlor, was a sefer stam. Rabbi Yochanan Asamla was a shoemaker. Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha was a blacksmith. Shimon HaPakuli, Hillel, Chaytev Eitzim, a woodchopper. Shammai was a banoi, and many others. Kimat, too numerous to count. But certainly, there were Yechidei school as well, such as Shimon Yechoi, the Chabera, the Tarosin of Nusan. And that's the position of Rabbi Noroi that we mentioned. So these two drachim in Avodas Hashem, namely Rav Shimon Michoi and Rav Shmuel, the two positions expressed there in brachos, and in general, the attempt on all the part of all the gedolei harishonim and acharonim to be miyashiv the contradiction and resolve the steer between the two gemaras. So Hagoyin Rabbi Yehuda Levenberg said the name of his father, Hagoyin Atzvi Levenberg Zatzal, that his father thought that this is reflected in a beautiful Agoda in Maseches Tainis. Look on page number 11, in the upper left-hand corner, the Gemara tells a wondrous story. And the end of this Maisa is also quoted in Ksubis, and that's Samach Tesnav Beis. The Gemara says, on top of the page, Ilfa Rabbi Yechanan Havagarsi Baraisa. Both of them were involved in the study of Torah, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Dechikalu milsa tuba. The Gemara says that they had a lot of difficulties in terms of sustaining themselves, in terms of parnasa. Amri, neikum v'nezlu v'nevet iska. V'nekayim benavshin efes kelo yiyah v'cha evyom. Let us go and somehow engage in some sort of business venture. If you recall, the term iska is the term that the Gemara uses in Masechet Kiddushin. And the Gemara's maskana is that iska is also considered to be a fulfillment of the work ethic. So they said, let's go ahead and try to find some business enterprise, some business opportunity, and we'll be able to be mekayim the pasuk. The Torah says, "Efes kilo yebcha evyom ki barei chavrecha Hashem baretz asher Hashem alkecha neisulcha nachla l'rishta." The Parshin Re'eh. It's found actually in the context of Tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah, nason titen lo, b'leirah levavcha b'sitcha lo, ki b'glal ador azeh, v'recha Hashem alokecha. But at the same time, the Gemara says in Shabbos that anius is galgal achezer. It's something that's going to be with us, and it's something that is a revolving kind of door. One day this individual is an ani, one day another individual is an ani, and that other one becomes an asher, v'chulu v'chulu. So the Gemara says, azlu asvei. The Gemara now describes what they decided to go ahead and do in order to achieve this goal, to achieve this end. And the Gemara indicates that Rabbi Yechadon, in the course of this expedition, I'm not going to read the entire Gemara, but the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechadon decided that this is not the derech that I should utilize, and he decided to go back. And Ilfa continued to pursue the course that they had together come to, the course of somehow finding some sort of parnasa. The Gemara here in the middle discusses how Malachi Ashores also became involved, and the Malachi Ashores commented, they're involved in what seems to be something which is of a nature that's obviously of a transient nature, as opposed to that which is eternal, namely the study of Torah. And the Gemara said that this is what Rabbi Yochanan heard, but Ilfa did not hear this discussion among the Malachi Asharis. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa in the middle of the Gemara, Shama Marmidi, did you hear anything? Amar Lo, I didn't hear any of this discussion. So Rabbi Yochanan concluded, since he heard this discussion, and Ilfa didn't hear it, apparently he was being addressed. And so then he decided to go back, and that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara continues and tells us that in the course of time, that when Ilfa went on to Schreira, went on to business, as Rashi comments over here, Rabbi Yochanan became a Rosh Hashiva. He was appointed as a Rosh Hashiva, and the minig was similar to a halacha that we have actually with reference to a kohen. The Gemara says that a kohen gadleu mishalechov, that he has to also be someone of stature. Stature means material stature. And so we actually provide the kohen with wealth and love that he should have that kind of stature. And Rashi here indicates that the similar halacha applies as well to Rosh Hashiva. Halavai should be by all Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, so Rashi comments over here that gadleu mishalechov, the same din that applies to kohen gadol. And so that's what they did. And then the Gemara has the following comment at the end of this discussion, towards the end, the last few lines in the Gemara. Amru lo, they said to Ilfa, I osiv mar bigoris, lo av malach mar. Had you remained, Ilfa, in the Torah kind of setting that Rabbi Yochanan decided to maintain, Rashi comments over here that Ilfa have a gomit tzvei for Rabbi Yochanan. He was apparently a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. So had you remained in the Torah setting, they told Ilfa, you would have been the Melech, you would have been the Rosh Hashiva, you would have attained this position. So the Gemara then describes when he heard this, that Ilfa went ahead, last four lines, Ozal tolo nafshe bi'askariya desvinta. He decided to go up on the mast of the ship, all the way on top of the ship, Omar, and he made the following statement. If anyone could best me, anyone could ask me a question for one of the brises of Rabbi Rabbi Isha, they were the author of the brises, and I'm not able to resolve their question, so I will fall off the top of the mast, and Rachman al-San, I'll drown myself. This Gemara, of course, is an absolute pella. And Rabbi Margolius, Zechatzadik Debracha, in the Hakdoma to his Sefer Margolius Hayom on Sanhedrin, asked these questions. And he wants to be miyashiv all these issues based on the Yerushalmi. But the Bavli, which is the Gemara in front of us in Tainus here in Chaf Aleph, is incredibly strange. Could we imagine that a chacham and a goyin of the stature of Ilfa would ascend the highest point on the ship, the mast of the ship, and from there he would conduct a vikuach with talmidim of the yeshiva who are below on the ship, or let's say they're at the port on the Chof Hayam, and one of them is going to scream to the other, they're going to ask him all kinds of kashas, and then he threatens to literally throw himself from the mast, he was not able to answer their questions and drown in the sea. We're talking about Rachman Litzlan, someone committing Ibud Atzma Ladas, kind of Harry Carey. And it's difficult to say that he was so confident, even though he was a giant in Torah, that he was so confident of his Chochma, of his Chavifus, of his Vikias, that essentially even that threat was really an empty threat. And perhaps one could argue that, because Chachamim Hizaru B'Divreichem. Chachamim are very careful never to articulate the davar Megunah. The Gemara says, Kilel HaSchochem Afil Al Tznai can come to fruition, and you shouldn't have a situation of Kishgoga HaYotzeis with Ne'a Shalit. And how could you be so batuach? Al Tamim B'Atzmecha Yayim Meischa, the Gemara says. So the Gemara is very difficult. So Hagoyin Datzvi Levenberg Zatzal was Miyashev, the Gemara, I'll call it Biderech Chida. Namely, what does the Sfina represent? The Sfina represents the greatest, most lucrative business opportunity that one could possibly find. And apparently, undoubtedly, when we talk about ships that are plying their wares and travel throughout the seas and throughout the world, undoubtedly they're involved in mercantile activity and they're unquestionably involved in traffic and commerce. And therefore that represents, that epitomizes incredible wealth, gargantuan wealth. The Taran that the Gemara describes, which is the mast, which is the highest point on the ship, In other words, Ilfa apparently achieved the pinnacle. He was able in a short period of time, in the course of his involvement and his excursion in the business world, he was able to reach the top of the business world. He became one of the elite business people. And yet at the same time, he wanted to show the Talmidim of the yeshiva that Chas v'Shalom, not for a moment did he abandon his commitment to Torah, his knowledge of Torah. The knowledge was as it was earlier, heretofore. And therefore, he wanted them to test him. He wanted the Talmidei Yeshiva to see if he actually would pass muster, if his mettle would be up to snuff, both in Bikiyas and Harifus. And the Iyum, the kind of threat that he issued, that if he won't have Atzlacha, he'll throw himself down off the mast, which means that what he'll do is he'll take himself down from the mast, from the business heights that he had reached, and he'll drown himself in the Yama Talmud. That's how Hagorim Nasi Leverberg interpreted the Gemara. Not the simple pshat in the Gemara. It's against the Magolis Hayam, against the Rabbi Magolis Zatzal, that he understands the Yam as referring to the Yushalmi. And essentially, he's going back to be one of the Tagarim, one of the merchants, one of the business people, Yordi Hayam, to the old Mitzoa that he was involved in beforehand. But essentially, the way Rav Levenberg interpreted the Gemara, if you best me, and if you succeed in somehow in refuting or showing that I don't have the kind of knowledge that I had before, I can't answer your questions, then I will completely abandon the world of Chol and will return with all my kayach to Limud HaKodesh, to Rasim Luso, I'll be Tovea B'yam HaTalmid Kol Yimei Chaya. That's the interpretation of Hagoyin of Levenberg. And the truth is, Rashi in Ksubis and some of Testament Beis, perhaps even more than Rashi over here, I wanted to be Mechazik or Rav Levenberg a little bit. So I saw the Rashi in Ksubis that he writes over there that Ilfa said, Afal pi shehalachti b'schayra lo shachachti talmudi. And Rashi also in Tanya seems to suggest something of a similar nature. You look at Rashi, Rashi indicates, Afal gavdi abdi iskla grisna anot femine. So here we have essentially said Hagoyin Rav Levenberg these two drachim in Avodas Hashem. And the Gemara is trying to tell us that both of them have legitimacy, both of them are significant, namely Rabbi Yechanan Teirasu Umnuso, Ilfa has a kind of Teira im Deacheretz, and perhaps this is exactly the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Yochai. So this is an interpretation, which of course is homiletic in nature, fitting to Rabbanim Mechubadim, whether it's the simple pshat in the Gemara, I don't know, but I think it's certainly a legitimate suggestion that one could offer. But again, at the end of the day, unquestionably, even one who is obligated to teach his son Umnis, and as the Mishnah Berurah writes, we saw that in Siman Shin Vav, in Siman Vav, Mishnah Berurah says his language is in Mikol Mokom, Gamze Shemalamed Libno Umnis Sarach Kuli Alma Lelamdo Mitchila. That certainly one has to be mechanic one's child at the very beginning on a diet of Torah, a very strong diet of Torah, and even later when he's obligated to become involved in the workforce, he must be full of Torah v'yir shamayim. Dilav hochi, says the Mishnah Berurah, he'll find himself, Rachmanu Litzlan, even in the terms of the work that he's doing, he may be violating many halachic tenets, whether he's a businessman and not familiar with the highways and byways of Chesh HaMishpat and some of the other takolos and some of the other breaches, the Chafetz Chaim writes, and he writes, B'frat b'yameinu, sh'akol mispazim b'mkom b'sarbei, asher ein yam yisrael shomid adas mitzuyin sham. Sometimes people are literally to be found in the four different parts of the globus, and you don't have many religious people, many co-religionists there. If he's not anchored in Torah, if he's not mushrash, and I'm skipping a little bit. Kol Shkein, says in Mishnah Berurah, So the bottom line of this entire discussion that we've had the last number of Shiurim is that clearly one has to be grounded and anchored in Torah, and that obviously can only come with enormous amount of devotion and commitment and dedication. But at the same time, clearly, the idea of the work ethic is a very significant component and element of a person's life. Maybe since I'm already discussing some elements of umnis before I enter the world of the Rambam, which is going to require a very careful reading of the Rambam in a number of different places, which I plan on doing slowly and very didactically, and then we'll attempt to come to some resolution of what the Rambam Shita is, which I've been thinking about for many decades. But in terms of a particular umnis, a particular profession, so the Mishnah has at the end of Kedushin that Le'olam Yilamid Adam is Beno Umnus Nekiyah V'Kala. And the Gemara actually even weighs in on what's called Umnus Nekiyah V'Kala. The Gemara speaks about Machta the Talmud Yusa. There's a Rashi there. And the Aruch explanation, he learns Talmud Yusa Nekiyah Migezel V'Kala the Les Bechser and Kis. Hopefully you won't lose any money. And number two, you'll not be involved in any suspicion of Gezel, anything which is inappropriate. The Marsha over there in the Chiddush HaGadol, when the Gemara says Umnas Nekiyah V'Kala, so the Marsha interprets that it means Arai Sheyuchal Asos Taraso Keva V'Yasok V'Malacha Nekiyah V'Kala Sheino Kveda V'Keva. So once you try to find a way of life where Torah becomes Keva, becomes your mainstay, and of course you're going to be involved in Malacha, but hopefully it'll be Nekiyah V'Kala in the sense that it won't occupy your entire day. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's not going to be something which is so overshadowing everything else, you won't have any time to learn. Many people told me that among the many reasons they came to Eretz Yisrael, because here, many people here in Eretz Yisrael still actually work abroad in different venues, and many of them are able to devote their mornings to the study of Torah, and then they begin their business enterprises or whatever they're doing in the course of the afternoon. And they said they never had that opportunity when they live in Chutz Aretz. There, it wasn't as the Rambam has the formula of 3 hours of work and 9 hours of learning. That's not exactly a formula which is, it's of course ideal if one could possibly arrange that, but it's quite rare that one is zochet to such a arrangement. But the way the Marsha learns, not just over here, in terms of Umnas Nekiyah V'Kala, but even the way the Marsha resolved, if you recall the contradiction between the two Gemaras, the Marsha is a shitasa, that the Marsha says once you try to find a area of malacha which is minimalistic in terms of the amount of hours, and of course maximalistic in terms of the ultimate compensation, that of course is the ideal. And he writes, "V'yispalo l'misha isha shalo." You have to daven to Hashem is barach, who obviously ha'isha v'akov v'lufanecha. We say in the davening, "V'ata meisha v'akov." So you pray to Hashem that hopefully you'll be able to, as the Gemara says in Brachas, with reference to Chassidim Rabbi Shomim, that even though they didn't work many hours, they were spending enormous amounts of time, the bulk of their day in tefillah, but melachtan misbareches v'tayrasa mishtameres. The fruits of the labor were met with tremendous success, with siyata d'shmaya. So here also the Marsha says that one should daven to Hashem Yisbarach, that the small amount of time that I devote to work should be blessed with prosperity, and this is the Marsha Shita, as we mentioned already a number of times, and he says this in a number of different places. So this, by way of overview, is the position of many, many Gedolei Yisrael, and the Mishnah Kedushin as well tells us even certain professions that one should avoid. The Mishnah says over there, Abagurian ish tzadyan omer mishub abagurya lo yilamid adam misbino chamor, gamol, kador, sapon, roe, vechenveni. Somehow all these professions, a donkey driver, a camel driver, someone's involved in pottery, a shepherd, a chenveni. So the Mishnah writes, umnuson, umnus listin. And Rashi indicates over there that somehow they're led to Gezel. And often we know that from the Pesukim Chumash. It's fascinating that Rishonim write at great length. Rabbi Abachaye especially speaks about this a number of times in his Perush Al HaTorah. We just, even recently, the end of Bereishis, when the children of Yaakov Avinu are introduced to Paro, Roitzon Abadecho, Gam Anachnu, Gam Aboseinu, and Eretz Goshen is Eretz Mireh, there's pasture for grazing cattle, and we have as well in the Sefer Shmos, Moshe HaYeroes, Son Yisrael Chosno Koed Midyon, again, the beginning, last week's parasha of Shmos, and Rabbeinu Bechai again comments over there that Dafka, this particular profession, seems to be an ideal profession in the days of Tanakh for two reasons. One is, number one, because they had a lot of time for his Bedudus. A Roe, a shepherd, is someone who's able to take his pasture to far-flung, outlying areas. But the reason why he does that as well, that he doesn't want to be Chas V'Shalom, Mare, to go ahead and graze his cattle, but Sado Shel Acherim. So here the Mishnah Kedushin also reflects this same idea, that often in the days of Tanakh and the like, Roim were those that were, as Rashi says over here, and that Mishnah Kedushin, Rashi comments under the litany of professions that the Gemara wants us to eschew, Chamor, says Rashi, all these that I mentioned, the first four, Chamor, Gamol, Kador, Sapon, Umnus, Listius, Kishalonim, Bidrochim, when they have to go ahead and overnight, they are on the road, Hennichnosim, Veloiktim, Eitzim, and Akromim, Paris. They go ahead and they're engaged in thievery. They're engaged in Gezel. Va'od, says Rashi, Sheniskorim, La'odom, Umavir al-Tznoyim, even though they may be hired help, but they don't necessarily carry out the stipulations, the conditions that are articulated by the owners, by the one who hired them. And then Rashi goes on to say, Roe behemo shalo, shemavirim liros besade acherim. Often they're not makbid on Gezel. And they go ahead and graze their flock in the fields of others. Chendani, Rashi comments, melumad ba'ono. Once a person enters the business world, then you have to be very cognizant of the dinim of ono. Lahatil mayim beyayim, tzroros pechitin. You may dilute the product that you're selling, perhaps wine that's diluted beyond the particular percentage, perhaps, but you may be allowed to. Obviously, you're going beyond the legal laws that are set down in terms of what the admixture can be and the like. Furthermore, the Mishnah also writes, Tov Shivarofim Legehenim. I have a number of Mechutanim who are doctors. So they're always in discussion with them. Somehow I always seem to discuss this when I'm with them at Chasanas. Tov Shivarofim Legehenim. So there are a different number of different pshatim that the Mefarshim had. Rashi learns, Tov Shivarofim Legehenim, Eino Yorei Menacheli, Umacholo Macholi Brim, Eino Mishabe Libo Lamokom. You don't recognize that the ultimate rofe, the absolute rofe, is Ki'ani Hashem Rofecho, as the pasuk says, Kol Amachlo Shesamti Mitzrayim Losim Alocha Ki'ani Hashem Rofecho, and the Gemara has an Abed Zorah, that a rofe is but a shaliach, he's but an emissary, and we hope that the shliach that we have is a shliach ne'mon, shluchim ne'monim, and the Gemara has as well, people have asked me in the last while, the following question, when they receive the vaccine, which I don't know if it's available yet elsewhere. It's amazing that it's an American-made vaccine, Pfizer, and yet it seems to be more available in Eretz Yisrael than it is anywhere else in the world. What else is new? But anyway, the Yiddish Cup.
They paid a price for it.
I'm sorry?
They paid a price for it. They gave over information, medical information.
I'm sorry, you're very choppy, Rabbi Weiss. I didn't hear you.
I said they traded medical information to be able to get it.
Okay. But I think at the same time, even assuming that they paid through their nose, as it were, but if it's to prevent, Rachmanu Litzlan, one more death, then shaveh v'shaveh, mishtalem v'mishtalem, l'fi ani yuzdaiti, then it certainly has value. But anyway, Rashi learns over there, Toshiv Rofi Lugenim, that the Rofi doesn't have the proper hachno, the proper anova, recognizing who he is, and Pa'amim says Rashi Shaharin the Fashos, the Ishbiyad the Larapos Ani Ben Marape. Sometimes there's a poor person, someone indigent, someone economically underprivileged, a forlorn individual who needs refuah, and yet because he can't provide the COD, the cash, so he doesn't go ahead and enter that particular scene. And sometimes, Rachman al-Nassan, he can be responsible for murder. The Mashal there goes further, and the Mashal, the Chiddush Agoda, explains that he sees himself as someone who's a very high level. Undoubtedly, doctors go through massive training. He's a mumcha shibirofim, and ein kamohu, and there tends to be a sense of more than a, what the Gemara says in Saita, Talmud Chacham is allowed to have a shminish of a shminish of gaiva. He has sometimes considerably more than that. A much higher level of arrogance, of an overweening kind of approach. And sometimes he makes a mistake, and he can, God forbid, even God cause damage to cholim, to individuals, can be a mazik. So there has to be this sense of anava, and that's why Tov Shevirofim, the Gemara says what it does. The Gemara goes further. The Gemara has a brisa. Since already I'm on this course, I may as well continue already. And we'll probably get back to the Rambam B'li Nedar tomorrow. We'll address it directly. But the Gemara says, the quotes of brisa here that I'm looking at, Kol she'asokav yimanoshim sura ra. The Gemara gives a number of other professions that are not ideal. Kigun hatsorfim. Rashi says, sorfim are smelters, sorfei zohav, ha'usim l'noshim, shirim, nizamim, tabos. They're individuals who are involved in the manufacture of jewelry. Vasarikin, sorik begodol l'noshim, those involved in women's clothing. Behind the korot, menakir rechaim shol yad shenoshim tochanot bahen. Rochlin are people who sell peddlers. Besamim, lanoshim, gardim, saparim, kofsim, a whole list of balan, bursiki, etc. And Rashi indicates on the latter ones, balan, bursiki, a tanner, zil umnusayum. And we also know that there's a Mishnah, the Bryce actually, the Avos Rav Nosson, at the end of Perek Lamavav, I saw it quoted by Mefarshim, Shiva ein lehem chelek l'olam haba. Very striking statement in Chazal. Seven people who are going to lose their chelek l'olam haba. A lavlar, sofer, tov shebirofim, dayon le'iro, kosein, a necromancer, chazan, tabach, a whole discussion about these particular professions. And apparently the assumption is that in all these areas, we're concerned about the potential possibility of chet, of transgression. Not that these are professions that are also. It's not also to be a sofer, not also to be a lavlar, it's not also to be a rofe, v'chulu, v'chulu. But we find Rameir was a lavlar. Gemara points out in Megillah. He actually was able to reconstruct the entire Megillah Baal Peh, Mila b'Mila. And we know that Ezra was Mesakeh l'Yisrael, that there should be rochlin mechazim v'ayoros. The Gemara has in Bava Basra like that, in order that Bnos Yisrael should be able to have tachshitim. And again, we have, a Mishnah in Edyos about Shnei Gardiyim, that they were made in the name of Shmai v'Abtalion, they were big lamdonim. And so you have these professions, they did actually exist. We know that many, many of the Gedolei Amoraim were doctors. Shmuel was a famous doctor. And Avosenu Akdoshim were Roei Tzom. They were individuals who were involved in that profession. They were shepherds. So the assumption has to be that there's a chshash, a possibility of michshol in all these areas. And so the Ratchila, one should not teach one's son these kav umdios, because it's koro v'sakona when it comes to ruchnias, and perhaps you don't have the element of the kias kapayim, which one should try to strive for. And therefore, the Aruch and others write that Eitzah Tova, Lehizoya, Lehisrachimem, Lechoma de Efshar. And depending on the Tkufa, depending on the particular period that one lives in, the epoch, the zeitgeist, those are also factors that one should always try to find whatever in one's particular locus or one's particular epoch that one lives in, Umnas Nekiah Vekala, obviously, Hakolofi Azman, Hakolofi Amokom. And once I'm already on this course already, so we'll continue. There's a Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chavavim and Aleph. So there the Gemara has a comment. The Gemara says, Kosve Stam, Hein v'tagreim, v'tagrei tagreim, v'chalauskim v'lech ha-shamayim. The Gemara speaks about Kosve Stam. People are involved in Sifrei Torah, Tilul Mezuzas, and all the business associates that are connected with them. And anyone osik v'lech shamayim, v'yasui mochei tcheles, people who sell tcheles, apotah from kriyashma, u'min atfilah, u'min atfilin, and we call mitzvahs amuras b'Torah. Why? Because of the principle that the Gemara has over there in Sukkah Daf Chafei, Ha'isik b'mitzvah, part of an amitzvah. Rashi over there comments that what do we mean when we speak of the business associates? So Rashi says, Halokhtu mehen k'nei limkor ulham tzion litzarech lahem. And the Mishnah Berurah actually has a comment in our Chaim, Simin lamed ches sivkon chavdal, the bi aloch over there, ve'amaskel heim, he writes the following. He says, v'tagreyem, business people associated with these religious items, religious chafotzim, afshem arvichem izeh, they can make a profit. Their interest is to provide people with these necessities, be it tefillin, be it other chetze shamayim. That's what Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham. The Bi Halacha, they ask the Kasha that if the intention actually is obviously b'shoveh, namely one is really involved in osik b'mitzvah. And again, he goes on there to explain in a rather lengthy piece that when Rashi over here writes, the Lashon of Rashi is very meduyach. Rashi says, halokhi mehen, someone who purchases from these tagorim, kidei limkor ulham tzion letzarech lahem. So Rashi first speaks about a person who purchases, and then he wants to sell in order laham tzion letzarech lahem. As Rashi writes, halokhi kidei limkor, and kidei laham tzion letzarech lahem. That even if initially his intention is lehisparnes, but afterwards he has a kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah, and in the fact that those who are in need of stam, he should be able to provide them with stam. And there's no question that obviously is something which is critical. So anyone who enters a profession, whatever profession it may be, whatever umnes he's going to enter, so he should make sure that he also has in mind not just to make a profit, but also to do chesed. He also has in mind to, in effect, do a l'shem mitzvah and to help his fellow Jew, to help his fellow man. In effect, by virtue of that kavana, he's going to transform Chai Yishah into Chai Olam. He'll be considered to be Oisek b'mitzvah. And together with his pranasa, he'll have the schus of the mitzvah that, in effect, will redound to his credit. And as a result, he'll be zeicha to Chai Netzach. So it's not that inherently these professions are considered to be something which are absolutely unacceptable. No, they are acceptable professions. It's not that one does them in a proper way, appropriately from a halachic standpoint. And secondly, that one's kavani is l'shem shamayim, l'shem mitzvah. So of course there are many nisyonos that confront any person who's in the outside world. As the pasuk says, la pesach chatos roveitz. And one has to be familiar with Dalach Helga Shulchan Aruch in order to make sure that one would not be in violation. Whether we're talking about people who work, the sugya that the Daf Yomi just recently had in the beginning of Makom Shenagu, people have a tendency, I remember, among the thousand reasons, here I'll mention another one, why you should come to Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Aretz, we used to work, and we worked literally till Erev Shabbos. We barely got home before Shabbos. People come home, I'm not exaggerating, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes less than that before Shabbos, have to run and prepare for Shabbos in a credible, frenetic kind of way, which is not ideal. Here in Eretz Yisrael, most people don't seem to work on Friday. That's the sense that I have. I don't think that's a phenomena. I can't imagine even in South Africa that phenomena, I imagine people there work. Maybe Sunday's the day they have off, but certainly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, people work all the way till Shabbos. And that's something that one has to be cognizant of, especially in the wintertime, that one should be able to prepare for Shabbos. So here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, one can prepare for Shabbos with Yishuv Adas. Shmaitza bo yitzlusuk yehemid yistanim, the Gemara says. And certainly preparation for Shabbos is a beautiful thing. So that's a very significant factor when one decides to choose a profession. A young man that I was Masada Kedusha for many years ago, became a prominent lawyer. He's actually a partner in a very large law firm in the United States. The law profession has really diminished to a large extent. Many people are telling me, a very prominent lawyer, another lawyer told me that he used to hire 50 lawyers a year for his firm. Now he hires 3 to 5. So the profession has changed drastically. I imagine probably not just there, but throughout the world. But anyway, this young lawyer, in the course of wanting to climb the ladder of success. So he began to work, and he began to work very long hours. And he was essentially coming home at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. I heard this not from him, but from his wife, who was also a student of mine at one time many years ago. And then he'd wake up in the morning and barely wake up, not really have time to go to Minyan, not have time to do anything, and just quickly get himself together, 9:30, he's out. And once again, Nachamol, 2:30 in the morning. So he came home 5 minutes before Shabbos. And what did he do on Shabbos? His wife told me, on Friday night, he had the meal, and then he disappeared. Essentially, he went into the arms of Morpheus for 24 hours. Did not even come to shul on Shabbos. He wasn't able to. He was so thoroughly exhausted, and had reached the point of stupefaction. And he woke up essentially Motzei Shabbos. I told her, half jokingly, okay, he wasn't Mekayim Zohar completely, but at least Shomer he kept. Certainly, he was not in violation of any of these Surim of Shabbos. That's a beautiful thing as well. Nothing to laugh at. She didn't find that to be very humorous. And after a number of years, they had children, of course, Baruch Hashem, and he had no connection with them whatsoever. And then she called me and indicated that I have to have a little schmooze with this fella. And I actually did have a schmooze with him. It was not a simple schmooze, not an easy one. But in the course of a number of months, Baruch Hashem, he was able to decide, and he made an important decision, that he doesn't have to be the top partner in the law firm. He can actually take a lesser kind of position. So Shabbos is critical when it comes to umnis. And Yerodea, one has to be familiar with many, many areas when you're involved also in the business world. I'm talking specifically about chukos hagoyim, all types of things that people are confronted with, all types of issues. Even Avodah Zarah, that one would have thought by now, would have disappeared a long time ago. And yet it's quite rampant. Baruch Hashem is doing quite well. I don't mean the Baruch Hashem in the positive sense, but in the negative sense. It seems to be flourishing in many areas of the world. And Ebn Ezer, people talk to me all the time about issues of yichud, with women working late at night, and one other woman is left in the building. Or all types of asokim with nashim that are not simple issues. These are the Mishnayos and Kedushim that I just mentioned a moment ago. And Cheshem Ishbot, and Maladaber. Essentially, we have from the Dinah of Aino, and Eishik Schar Sochid, just thinking out loud, and Gnevas Das, and Arko Shalakum, and Zikin, and Kinyonim, and Mishpatim, and Shoftim. Basically, it's all the three Babas. Baba Kaba, Baba Tzir, Baba Vasa, at work. And if one does not have good Sharashim in these areas, and sometimes Chemda Samamon could also lead to an egotistical kind of approach, Shali Shali, Shalchar Shali, which the Mishnah calls a Rasha, or even someone says Shali Shali, Shalchar Shalchar, is an Amaretz, Midas Dom, perhaps. So these are very significant areas that one has to be cognizant of when one enters the workforce. And perhaps we'll just mention, by way of siyum of this shir, a number of yisaydas when it comes to malacha that everyone has to be cognizant of. Number one, the Gemara has in Shabbos, and this is a famous discussion between Hillel and the Ger, the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph, the Aloch Sani Lechabrach Lechavid, Zui Kolatarakula V'idach Zil Gemar. This, by the way, was the unquestionably the quintessence of this Adam Gadol, this Rav that the Levay is taking place right now. Agoyin Rav Yehuda Kelebar Zechatzag Debracha. His Ava for every single human being was absolutely unparalleled. I never saw anything like it. Migadol Akadon. This V'ahavta Rech Kamocha was his motto, was his guide post from every single standpoint. And this is an important principle when you deal with all kinds of people. Somehow to try to maintain cordial relationships, it is no simple matter. I'm not a business person. I don't travel in the business world. I have enough problems in the world of chinuch and abonis. I don't have to go into the business world. But even there, one has to be cognizant of interactions that should be at the highest of levels. The Gemara has a Bava Metzia, they didn't act with Nimishur Sadin. Another one of the things they mentioned, and one of the Hespedim at the Levaya of Agoyin Rabbi Yehuda Kelebar, one of his sons said this, that his father told him all the time, Livater, Vitur, 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 again and again, give in, give in, give in. You don't always have to be on top of things, because that could lead to a lot of machlokas and lead to Ishalom. Of course, you have to do it with Seicha, with Chachma. Yasisa Yashiv Atov is another Yashiv. In business, is not a simple matter. One has to try to be Maso Matanu Be'emuna. That's the first question the Gemara says in Shabbos they're going to ask a would-be business person, Nasasa v'nasata b'emuna. So here we have many, many principles that are quite relevant and quite significant in the world of umnis, and Chazal clearly understood the importance of umnis. Chazal valued umnis. Chazal valued making panasa, but of course, at the same time, Chazal wanted one to balance that with a connection, a commitment to Talmud Torah, and try to max out on Talmud Torah to the extent that one can. But certainly, Tzadik ben Menasa Yichya, this concept that panasa actually is founded upon emuna in Hashem Yisbarach, v'oye emuna sitecho, chesin Yeshua is chochem v'vodoas, yiras Hashem, he, Gemara says in Shabbos over there, that refers to Zroim, emuna sitecho, that the person is mamin, beburi alami bezorea. And certainly, umnas requires an enormous amount of emuna, Tzadik ben Menasa Yichya. And so, essentially, even though the Gemara says at the end of Makkos that Bo Chabakuk ve'emin alachas, namely Emunah Hashem, is ultimately the foundation of what umnis is all about. So umnis tekiyah v'kala is an ideal that one should strive for. At the same time, one should not by any means abandon. And Baruch Hashem, today we live in a world where there are many wonderful, outstanding young balabatim. A fair number of them are now in the shul that I'm involved in, and in my former shul, who try to max out on the study of Torah to the extent that they can. And Baruch Hashem, they are successful entrepreneurs and business people involved in high tech and all kinds of other professions, doctors and lawyers and engineers and psychiatrists and psychologists. But Baruch Hashem, they recognize the centrality, the value of Torah, and they recognize that ultimately that you have to be mispalel to Misha, the one who is responsible for Parnassah, which is Hashem Yisbarach. And if we take this kind of hashkafa, this kind of attitude, this kind of approach, Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, Gadosh Baruch Hu will be Matzliach, all of us, each one in their own way, Kol Echad Lefi Madrigoso. Believe that in the next year, I will begin to explore the Shitas HaRambam. You have in front of you, I sent about 20 or 21 pages or so of Maran Mekomos with reference to this matter, which means that we'll try to explore not every single Rambam. I can't say I was Matzliach in getting to every single Rambam, but I got to most of them. Most of the Rambams in Mishnah Torah, as well as the Rambams, both in the two major places where he discusses the position on this issue, about not being nene from the Keser Torah, udishtamish besoga cholof, namely the Rambam Pirshei Mishnayos and Avos, and the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, and then we'll also take a look at the Keser Mishnah and his response. What I did was, last time I had Xeroxed it, but the print was microscopic in nature, and several people commented to me. So, Baruch Hashem, I went looking for the Frankel Rambam and was able to put that together. And so, hopefully, next time we'll begin an exploration of Shitas HaRambam, which is very complicated and very complex. But I think there is a mahalach to understand the Rambam if you examine it very, very carefully. So, we'll try to read through the Rambams carefully, and that may take us a bit. But hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have some degree of Hatzlacha and try to be Mefaneach the position of the Nesher Agodol, of the great eagle, the great Rambam, Mimesha Ad Mesha, Lekom Kemesha.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ruchim to you. Have a wonderful evening.